Usually I'm the one leading the singing, and then someone else gets up here and speaks. But we're flipping things around a little bit this evening. Good to have you joining us here and there and everywhere you may be on this Wednesday. Good that we're taking the opportunity to study God's Word and to do what we can do in this troubling, challenging situation. But above all, we need to remember that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. One of my favorite scriptures is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And you might be thinking, have you seen the news lately? Have you seen about all this virus info? Sure. Have you seen about some saber rattling from this country or that country? Yes. But still, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it because we know, no ifs, ands, or buts, we know that God is in control. As I came in, I saw a bulletin board has been freshly decorated, may still be under construction, I don't know. But I love what it says, or actually shows. It shows, this is not an insurance commercial, it shows hands with the world in it. It's like the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. And we need to remember that at all times and not let anxiety and stress and tension and worry grab hold of us. We don't need that. When you start thinking about things, we just heard the reading a bit ago from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. This, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to one of his, I guess I would say, favorite congregations. He had a special place in his heart for them. This is almost a love letter full of joy. But when you think about the situation, Paul was in a Roman prison when this was written. Most likely, he was chained to a Roman guard. No air conditioning, no heating. You can only imagine what the food was like. Not the best of situations, and he didn't know what was ahead for him. He could have very easily have been put to death. He didn't know. But yet, anxiousness was not a part of his life. He had reason to be anxious. When you look at the first few verses of this chapter, you see there was some strife in the congregation between a couple of the sisters there, and Paul is encouraging them to get along, put things aside, and look at the big picture of things. And in the first chapter of Philippians, we see how there were preachers in Rome who were doing their best to undercut Paul at every step. They were out to get him. But yet, he wasn't anxious. He wasn't worrying. And let's look again at chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You might think that this is not the time to be rejoicing. Did Jesus not die for our sins? It's a time to be rejoicing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. That gift is still here. One of the side effects of all these changes, our social distancing, our loss of venues to go see a concert or a basketball game, do you realize there was no March Madness this year? There's parks that are closed. Very, very few businesses are still open. Well, what are the advantages to that? We have the opportunity to see what really matters in life. Somebody has a concert. That's nice. Does it really matter? No. They didn't play basketball, okay? That doesn't really matter. It gives us the opportunity to focus on the things which we need to focus on. And Paul found, shall we say, the answer to facing anxiousness. And he shares it with us. Let's look again at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's think about the word anxious. It means to be pulled in different directions. Do you remember years ago, they may still use this, Levi Strauss had this commercial, mainly a print ad. You saw a pair of jeans, and each side was a pole. On each side of the pole was a rope that went to a horse, and you had guys on each side trying to get the horses to go in opposite direction to see if they could rip those jeans apart. That's what anxiety is. You're getting pulled in different directions. And with us, sometimes the anxiety is because of fear. At the same time, that fear can be opposed by reward. So we may want to really do something, but fear keeps us from it. We're torn. We're being pulled in those different directions. I remember the very first time I rode in an airplane. It was not an airliner. It was a fighter jet. I was in the Rio seat, and it was doing acrobatics. Ahead of time, I thought, I want to do this. This is going to be so much fun. At the same time, I've never flown on a plane. That thing is going to be doing all kinds of flips and inversions and rolls. But I got over it. I was able to put that anxiety away. And worry is similar. It's not exactly the same, but worry is similar to anxiety. But rather than meaning being pulled apart, it means to be strangled. Have you ever been in a situation where worry had such a grip on you that you had a hard time swallowing? Worry and anxiety can have so many physical effects on us. For instance, it can raise our blood pressure, make the heart start beating ridiculously. It can cause panic attacks. It can cause headaches. It can cause backaches. It can cause all kinds of stress. It can make you just feel horrible. And what good is that? The physical stress of worry is something we can live without. One thing about anxiety, when you look at the spiritual side of anxiety, we shouldn't have spiritual anxiety, should we? When you think about things, wrong thinkings and wrong feelings about circumstances and people and things contribute to such things. And we need to remember, as I said at the beginning, that God is in control. And God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He's always there for us. And joy will be robbed from us. Anxiety and worry will rob that joy from us. And we look in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 10. It says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Isn't that a comforting thought? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's not enough for us to just say, "I'm going to quit being anxious." How many times have we said to ourselves, "I'm going to quit something," or "I'm going to start something"? It takes more than that. Yes, we have to be of the mind to do it. But one thing that will really help, and Paul definitely has this down when he tells us about the antidote, is prayer. When we pray to God, we are connecting with the highest power there ever was and ever will be. The creator of the universe, the one who loves us so much that that love cannot be measured. We sing that song, it has the lyrics, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Do we carry everything to God in prayer? Or sometimes, do we only go to God when something big is going on? Say we have a loved one in the hospital in a very dire situation, and we pray. That's good. We should pray. But if we wake up in the morning and it's a beautiful day, what about praying then, a prayer of thanksgiving? Regardless, we should always be praying to God for the big things and for the little things. It doesn't matter. If we pray only about the big things and we forget the little things, before you know it, those little things can be big things. And we need to not only pray prayers such as that, but we need to pray and have a talk with God, realizing God's power to the best that we can understand it. You remember when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray? It started out, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It started out with a praise to God and an acknowledgement of God's holiness. We need to remember that at all times. But when we go to prayer, sometimes it's supplication. We're asking God for things. And when we pray in supplication, it can be a mixture of adoration. It can be a mixture of devotion. Sometimes we just need to be alone and pray to God. You remember the scripture, pray without ceasing? It doesn't mean an endless prayer. It means make that your lifestyle, that your life is a life devoted to prayer. Prayer can do so much to lift anxiety away from us. Remember that God is big enough to solve the largest problem, and he's big enough to care about our smallest problems, regardless of what it is. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to remove those problems from our life, but he'll give us the strength to deal with them day in and day out. And when we make our requests known to God in supplication, we don't need to be doing it half-heartedly. We need a fervent prayer. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? We read about that prayer, which is truly the Lord's Prayer there in John chapter 17. He prayed in tears and blood. His sweat was bloody, caused by extreme stress. Jesus had the power of God because he is God and was God at that time as well, always. But yet, he had a very fervent and sincere prayer to our Father. And we need to remember that when we pray, we need to be in that same type of a mode, where we just don't, off the cuff, make a prayer, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that, give me this, give me that. But a thoughtful prayer. One thing that we've got to be careful about is forgetting to say thank you. You remember the lepers that Jesus healed? Heal those 10 lepers, and 9 go on, 1 comes back. Where are the other 9? We don't want to be one of those people. We want to always give thanks to God for the many blessings that he gives us, day in, day out. There is no way we can thank him enough for what he's done for us. Absolutely no way. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying. Just as when we give someone something, or if we're driving and we stop and let someone cut in front of us, doesn't it mean a lot if they kind of go, thanks? Or if they just go, zoom, like they're entitled. We don't need that entitlement attitude, do we? Especially with the blessings that come from God, because we're not entitled to any of it. It's through his love that we get them. And that kind of praying will result in a fortress around our hearts, around our souls, to protect us from the outside world, to protect us from the influences, because the more we get to know God, the more fervent our prayers will be, and the more effective those prayers will be, and we'll have that peace that passes all understanding. I like the way the New American Standard translates that. That is, rather than understanding, it uses the word comprehension. And comprehension is really our ability to understand. There is no way we can understand how the peace of God is. But the peace of God is tangible. It's real. It's something we can experience. And when we have that peace, we know it. And worry, anxiety cannot be allowed to take over, regardless if we're facing an illness, whether we're wondering, will I ever get the chance to go back to work? What's going to be happening in my bank account? What's going on? Will I ever be able to find TP anywhere? It's just one of these things. We need to let it go. Let it go, let it go, and let it go. God is big enough to handle it all. Let's look at verse 8 for just a moment. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence of anything worth of praise, dwell on these things. All these things that we've been dealing with the isolation, the virus, can be a silver lining. Because remember, God's in control. Too many times we try to understand everything on our own, but we know that there are things we cannot understand. There's just no way. But we start thinking about the positives that can come out of this. How about a little more time to study your Bible? A little more time spent with a family. Perhaps you see neighbors from a distance, a little bit of social distancing. Get out and walk some. Enjoy the beautiful weather that we have. A little bit cooler parts of the day, but still, it was a beautiful day today. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy all these great things that God has blessed us with. And one good thing that we have, that they didn't have years ago, telephones. We can pick up our phone and call a brother or sister in Christ who may be feeling kind of down and out and talk to them. Brighten their day. Chances are our day will be even brighter than theirs. But that helps. We can communicate. We can do little things like that. We can realize that we have so many blessings that we should never take for granted. We're so bad about that in this country especially. But in these troubled times, we need to remember another verse in chapter 4, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, I've had abundance. I've had plenty. I've had very little. But regardless of my situation, I can do all things through Christ. We need to have that same type of an attitude. So I'm looking online a little earlier this week, and there was something that's really pretty interesting. There was something that said, we are not the first, let me just read it to you here. It said, we're not the first people in lockdown or in quarantine. Noah and his family were on the ark for a long time. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. They'd never seen rain before, and this was a monumental rain like nothing that had ever occurred. They didn't have a terrace. They didn't have a balcony. They didn't have a front porch. They didn't have anywhere to go and relax. No cell phones, no TV, no internet, no Netflix, no YouTube, nothing. But they spent time together as a family. Can only imagine how much of that time was spent in prayer and taking care of animals. But they had faith. Noah was a man of faith, and he knew that God would keep his promise for them, him and his family, that they would be delivered safely through the flood. It said, even though there's an ocean of viruses out there and life seems like a stormy ride, God is watching over us. Don't be afraid. Be faithful and patiently wait. The rain will stop one day. And as Barry said Sunday night, there'll be a rainbow shining and we'll all be well again. But do we need things to go back the way they were? This has given us a chance to reevaluate our priorities. Remember that God is first, and he should always be first in our lives. But we can't have that peace that passes all understanding, that passes all comprehension, if we're not in Christ, because that peace is only for the children of God. And that's a peace that we cannot compare to anything else. It's a peace that we can't describe, but we know when it's there. But if we are not in Christ, that's not something that we'll have. If you have never put on Christ, this is an awfully good time to do it. It's not the most convenient time, but it may be the most convenient time you'll ever have. We do have a baptistry back here, and we will make arrangements. If you would like prayer, you want to put on Christ, you want to study more, you can always call. It's 615-681-0831. That's 615-681-0831. God is always there for us. He's ready to give us that peace, but we have to reach out and accept it. Would you pray with me? Our Holy Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this day. Above all, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And we thank you so much, Father, for that peace that you can give us. We pray, Father, that you will be with us, as you'll keep us safe. We pray, Father, you will be with those who are working in hospitals and doctor's offices, with the public who have no choice about it. We pray, Father, you'll keep them safe. We pray for those who are researching ways to put an end to this virus. And we know, Father, that with your help, it will end. Father, we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.